NBC News World Headquarters in New York. This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening to our viewers in the West. It seems hardly a week goes by without another viral video reminding us of what an emotional pressure cooker airplane cabins have become lately. The latest, an all-out brawl among passengers aboard a California-bound jet. The shocking video making the rounds on the same day that U.S. airline executives were hauled before Congress to explain the behavior of their employees, as well as airline practices that generate a lot of passenger resentment. NBC's Tom Costello has details.
It was an all-out brawl as passengers boarded an L.A.-bound flight in Tokyo.
Someone help! This guy's crazy!
The man in red exchanging punches with another passenger. The suspect, described as an American, allegedly intoxicated, was arrested and charged with assault before the flight ever took off.
I said that this is crazy, you know, and then that kind of triggered him. And he said, you think this is crazy? The government is crazy. He's like, the government ruined my life.
Out Upon Airways apologized, saying the suspect was incoherent and physically violent and aggressive to other passengers.
Oh, my God.
The incident coming after a string of viral videos that cast a black eye on the entire airline industry. Today, members of Congress told a panel of airline execs much of the country is fed up.
So to you, they may be your customers. To us, they are constituents.
Both American and United Airlines promising significant changes in customer service.
Our actions will speak indefinitely longer than our words. We will do better.
Consumer advocates say among the problems, more flyers and less competition. Over the last 12 years, mega mergers have dramatically cut the number of big carriers from 8 to just 4. Meanwhile, it's the flight attendants who are very often left trying to keep the peace.
That's what we're doing every single day, is de-escalating issues between passengers so that we don't have a really big problem in the air.
And we're all sitting closer together.
We're all sitting closer together, packed in like never before.
You don't want to tell us.
Back in Congress, a threat. If the airlines don't improve their customer service, Congress could impose tough new customer service laws.
Seize this opportunity, because if you don't, we're going to come, and you're not going to like it.
A not-so-veiled warning there. Most members of Congress would prefer the airlines fix this on their own without congressional involvement. But, Lester, tonight, patience on Capitol Hill is wearing thin.
Tom Costello, thanks. In South Carolina, a former North Charleston police officer who was charged in the videotaped shooting death of an unarmed, fleeing man entered a surprise guilty plea in federal court today. Michael Slager, whose state trial in the death of Walter Scott ended without a verdict, accepted a plea deal on lesser federal charges, potentially meaning less prison time. Gabe Gutierrez has that story.
2 years after the dramatic cell phone video shocked the nation, today former North Charleston police officer Michael Slager pleaded guilty to a federal charge of using excessive force.
Michael Slager admitted what he did.
The family of Walter Scott cried as the plea was read in court. The defendant used deadly force, even though it was objectively unreasonable under the circumstances. Scott was shot 5 times in the back in April of 2015 as he ran from a traffic stop. In a written statement, Slager's defense team said, "We hope that Michael's acceptance of responsibility will help the Scott family as they continue to grieve their loss." Slager's federal trial had been scheduled to start in a few days. He'd face civil rights charges, lying to investigators, and using a firearm in a violent crime. Even with this plea, he still faces life in prison, but could get much less.
The victory was him admitting that he did wrong.
Last year, Slager went to trial on state murder charges. He told the court he was in total fear for his life when Scott grabbed his stun gun during a struggle.
In my mind at that time, people don't run from the
campaign. Jurors could not reach a verdict, and prosecutors vowed to retry the case. But they've agreed to drop those state charges as part of today's plea agreement.
I think that most of us believe that if they tried that case again, the best they could hope for was a hung jury.
Although some activists may feel frustrated that Slager won't face a new murder trial, for the Scott family, they feel the biggest victory was the admission they had waited for.
Michael Slager was led from the courtroom here in handcuffs right in front of the Scott family. Sentencing is now expected within the next few months, and then it'll be up to a judge to decide how much time Slager will spend in prison. Lester.
All right, Gabe Gutierrez, thank you. There's late news tonight about a fatal police shooting captured on camera that sparked outrage and protests in Baton Rouge. The death of Alton Sterling, shot while being pinned down on the ground. There's new concern in that city amid word that the Justice Department has decided not to charge the officers involved. Our justice correspondent, Pete Williams, is in our Washington newsroom with details. Pete, what can you tell us about this?
Well, Lester, several sources familiar with this case say that career Justice Department prosecutors have concluded that there isn't enough evidence to bring federal civil rights charges. This incident was caught on video and touched off days of protest. The police said they were responding to a complaint that a man with a gun was threatening people outside a convenience store. Video showed Alton Sterling on his back. The police officers say they thought he was reaching for a gun. They said they found one in his back pocket. Those officers have been on leave. The city's been bracing for a decision, but bringing federal charges in a case like this is notoriously difficult because the law requires proving intentional wrongdoing. For example, the Justice Department concluded that it couldn't bring charges in the 2014 shooting in Ferguson, Missouri, of an unarmed man, Lester.
All right, Pete Williams, thank you. To politics now, and President Trump lashing out after the bipartisan spending agreement was forged, avoiding a government shutdown. With both the White House and Democrats claiming victory, the president suggested a shutdown may be exactly what Washington needs. Also today, Republicans are facing new obstacles in the push to replace Obamacare. NBC's Peter Alexander has more.
President Trump today venting his frustration on Twitter, arguing the government needs a good shutdown in September to fix Washington's mess. The president clearly upset at the perception Democrats got the better end of a budget compromise that avoids a government shutdown.
After years of partisan bickering and gridlock, this bill is a clear win for the American people.
Mr. Trump trying to recover a political victory from that spending agreement.
And we didn't do any touting like the Democrats did, by the way.
But taking heat for suggesting the solution is a shutdown.
How does the president define a good shutdown?
If you wanted to imagine what a good shutdown was, it would be one that fixes this town.
In the last shutdown, 800,000 federal employees were indefinitely furloughed. Another 1.3 million were required to work without knowing when they would get paid.
Right.
So is that a good shutdown that fixes Washington?
Come back to your point. Every single one of those folks got paid. Right.
With conservative critics also attacking the deal, the White House deploying two top cabinet officials to boast about presidential promises kept, like more money for defense and border security.
We are building this. Okay? We are taking their taxpayer money to build this.
The bitter back and forth as House Republicans appear on the verge of another failure for their health care plan, with more Republicans defecting. Missouri Congressman Billy Long backs Trump, but not the bill.
Just because pre-existing conditions would be covered doesn't mean they can't price you out of the market.
Oh, it's actually got some steam coming off of it now.
In Arizona, breast cancer survivor Toni Bannister worries her pre-existing condition will impact her family's coverage.
It's not just me. It's my entire family. It's my sons. It's my future grandchildren. It's all of that.
And tonight, word of a possible Russian rendezvous after a high-stakes call between Presidents Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump. The White House tonight confirms the leaders will try to schedule what would be their first face-to-face meeting to take place in Germany this July. Lester?
Peter Alexander at the White House. Thanks, Peter. Back in the spotlight today, Hillary Clinton opening up about her election defeat at an event here in New York. The former presidential candidate blaming her loss on both the FBI and Russia, and asserting that if the election were held about 2 weeks earlier, she'd be in the Oval Office now. We get more from NBC's Andrea Mitchell.
Tonight, Hillary Clinton not holding back.
I'm now back to being an activist citizen and part of the resistance.
Her most frank comments yet about losing the election, blaming not herself, but FBI Director James Comey, WikiLeaks, and Vladimir Putin.
Every day that goes by, we learn more about some of the unprecedented interference, including from a foreign power whose leader is not a member of my fan club.
She says it was not a perfect campaign, but no mention of her failure to go to Wisconsin to campaign earlier in Michigan, connect with Rust Belt voters in Pennsylvania, all blue states that went for Donald Trump, or why the first female nominee could not win a majority of white college-educated women.
I was on the way to winning until the combination of Jim Comey's letter on October 28th and Russian WikiLeaks raised doubts in the minds of people who were inclined to vote for me but got scared off.
Clinton's explanation that WikiLeaks dump of her campaign manager's emails timed to distract from the Access Hollywood tape.
Within an hour or two of the Hollywood Access tape being made public, the Russian theft of John Podesta's emails hit WikiLeaks. What a coincidence.
What about her responsibility for failing to have a better message?
Did I make mistakes? Oh, my gosh, yes. But the reason why I believe we lost were the intervening events in the last 10 days.
Even some of Clinton's former campaign aides say she is not really confronting her own political failings for what they acknowledge was a devastating loss from which she has not fully recovered. Lester?
Andrea Mitchell, thank you. Now to fears of a flood emergency in Missouri. Residents being evacuated amid a race to keep the water from rushing into towns with more rough weather and rain on the way. NBC's Blake McCoy takes us inside the flood zone tonight.
With swelling rivers outside St. Louis tonight nearing record flood levels, hundreds of volunteers are filling sandbags, a frantic effort to protect homes and businesses like Jill Umbarger's bakery.
It's a little overwhelming. I'm actually speechless.
High schoolers in Eureka, Missouri joined the effort. Classes have been canceled. The campus only accessible by boat. Further up the Merrimack River in Valley Park, mandatory evacuations.
It's nerve-wracking. You don't know if you're going to come home to a home or not.
For now, the town's levee is holding, but more rain is on the way.
The next round of heavy rain arrives tomorrow morning and lasts through the Midwest until early afternoon on Thursday. We'll see a widespread 1 to 4 inches of rain with isolated amounts of 5 inches or more.
Tonight, with waters rising, communities in Arkansas and Missouri are bracing for agonizing days ahead. Blake McCoy, NBC News.
A lot more to tell you about here tonight. Still ahead, relieving knee pain if you're one of the millions of sufferers in the U.S. There's some important new information you should know before choosing replacement surgery. Also, the surprise revelation from late-night host Jimmy Kimmel opening up about the terrifying health scare involving his newborn son. We're back now with some surprising medical news about one of the most popular surgeries in America. The number of knee replacements has skyrocketed in the last decade, now more than 640,000 every year. But new research is raising questions about whether too many people are having this expensive procedure when other treatments could relieve their knee pain. Here's NBC's Ann Thompson.
Active is how 47-year-old Francesca Cieni stayed healthy until knee pain this February.
I went for a run, and when I got home, I started feeling pain, and it swelled up.
Where is the pain?
It's in the front, on the right.
Pain that comes from when the cartilage wears away. For many, the answer has been a total knee replacement, a $50,000 surgery, the number more than doubling since 2000. But new research from Mount Sinai Health System says these surgeries have limited effectiveness and can be economically unjustifiable when they're done on patients with less severe symptoms.
I see patients who are very young who come in and just say, let's just replace the knee. And that's not really an option. In a 20 or 30-year-old, we're not even thinking about that surgery.
So is this a candidate for knee replacement surgery?
This is a candidate for knee replacement.
Surgeon Beth Schubenstein takes the conservative approach at New York's Hospital for Special Surgery.
Total knee replacement is the last option. It's never going to be the first.
Knee replacements may only last 15 to 20 years and can require second or third surgeries.
Bend?
Instead, Dr. Schubenstein first tries other techniques to relieve the pain. Physical therapy, braces, and injections to lubricate the joint and reduce inflammation. A partial replacement may be in Francesca's future.
Get your core engaged.
But physical therapy and injections are helping now.
Clearly, I'm walking and I can do a lot more things. You set it up.
Able to keep up with her son, Luca.
Smile.
Doing the work first instead of going under the knife. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
Up next here this evening, a new twist on roadside rescues, why you no longer have to be driving to call AAA. Take a look at this. A corny mess all over the highway in Minnesota. It happened this morning southwest of Minneapolis when a pickup truck tried to make a U-turn in front of a semi that was carrying all that corn, causing it to overturn, spilling 80,000 pounds on the road, snarling traffic. The driver of the semi suffered minor injuries. The pickup driver was cited by police. In a sign of the times, AAA is now expanding its roadside assistance services to extend bicycles to new parts of the country. For many cyclists, a flat tire or broken chain often means a long walk for help. But with more people using bikes, AAA has decided to offer more emergency help to cyclists. And what's old is new again. New numbers show sales of e-books were down last year, while sales of good old-fashioned paperbacks actually increased. There's no clear explanation about what's behind the shift, but experts say more people may be limiting their screen time after so many hours spent using all those glowing devices. Up next, the late-night host who put the jokes aside to share a powerful and personal story about his newborn son's health struggle. Finally tonight, he's in the business of making people laugh. But last night, Jimmy Kimmel moved many to tears with an emotional revelation about the medical crisis that forced his newborn son to undergo open-heart surgery. NBC's Joe Fryer has more about that and Kimmel's plea about health care in America.
From Hollywood, it's Jimmy Kimmel Live!
Instead of a standard opening monologue, Jimmy Kimmel was opening his heart.
I have a story to tell about something that happened to our family last week. I'm sorry, Donnie. You know, I try not to get emotional, but it was a scary story.
Mixing a comedian's wit with a dad's love, Kimmel talked about the birth of his son, Billy.
6 pushes, he was out.
And how a nurse at Cedars-Sinai detected a heart murmur and purple skin.
And it's a terrifying thing. My wife is back in the recovery room. She has no idea what's going on.
Tests revealed it was a heart defect, something called tetralogy of Fallot. So Billy moved to Children's Hospital L.A., where just 3 days after his birth, he had open-heart surgery under the caring hands of Dr. Von Starnes.
I'll never be able to thank him for... So I won't even try, is what I'm saying.
Today, Billy is doing well, but will need more surgeries down the road. On social media, Kimmel's monologue was praised by celebrities and political figures, including former President Obama. With the health care debate raging, Kimmel made a plea to politicians on both sides, noting his newborn son already lives with a pre-existing condition.
No parent should ever have to decide if they can afford to save their child's life. It just shouldn't happen.
After sharing his story, Kimmel welcomed snowboarder Sean White, who was born with the same condition.
And I thought, oh no, my son's going to be a snowboarder.
That is a side effect, yes.
It makes me believe that my son, too, is going to win Olympic gold medals for the United States of America.
A grateful father, already bragging about his resilient son. Joe Fryer, NBC News, Los Angeles.
That's going to do it for us on a Tuesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.